I'm really excited anyway, as your pastor here, that we are on this journey, and I'm seeing down way past where we are to the spiritual things that are happening. And you know, Pastor Stephen, I just love this guy. His opening line to me most of the times is, "Pastor, I forgot to tell you, three people got saved. One person got saved." So I love that. He comes into our staff meeting. So this morning he said that. I wanted to tell you that three people got saved on Friday night. That's the only reason that we exist here. I know you love the pews, the color, and how comfortable they are. I know that. And even the color scheme. And I know that you come there for that. It's not about that. It's about this being a very pivotal place for us to go out and win the kingdom, or win people to the kingdom of God, bring in the harvest. And so I just am thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you contribute. But as a person that God has allowed to be in this position, God has given me a clear vision that we are going ahead and we're going to see something very interesting happen in the spirit realm. Anybody else with me there? Good, yeah, good. That's good, because I can't do it alone. I mean, it ain't going to work that way. I want to talk to you about 40 days. We're going to start a series. Well, not maybe it's like a series, but we're going to talk about spiritual hunger and a whole different areas of facets about that. But first of all, I want to clear up something that happened to cause somebody a little bit of concern. Last time when I preached, I was preaching on resurrection, if you remember, on Easter Sunday, and I mentioned that our bodies are not going to be just like these spirits floating around without a body attached to them, and that we're actually going to eat, and we're going to work, and we're going to create, and we're going to enjoy the new earth and the new life that God has created for us when it all fits together in his plan. And then I talked about relationships, and I probably might have twisted something here, that because my statement was, will we be married in heaven? And then I just said, I would like to be married in heaven to Elaine forever. And I mean that. Now, maybe some of you don't feel that same way about your spouse. I thought about that too. But I didn't want you to think that, hey, we are going to be married in heaven. We are going to be married in heaven. Guess to who? Jesus. Okay, guys, I don't know how that affects your theology and your thinker. That's I'm still working on that one. But I'm pretty sure I could be married to Jesus as the bride of Christ without a whole bunch of problems. But we're not going to be married to each other. We're going to know each other. We're going to know our kids. We're going to know all that kind of stuff. And I'm not quite sure how that all fits together. But Jesus was very, very clear in this, that he said in Matthew 22:30, that at the resurrection, people will neither marry or be given in marriage. They'll be like the angels in heaven. So I just wanted to clear that up in case. And I want to tell you, I appreciate somebody either sending me an email or a text or coming and seeing me and say, hey, look, I don't think that was right, or I don't agree with you, or, you know, it's okay if you do that with me, okay? I'm not the smartest man in the world. I know it's a shock to some of you, and I'm so very close that it bothers me to even have to say that. I'm not. I can make incorrect statements, and in communication, it's really easy to say something and have it flip a couple times before it catches you. And I just want you to know that I'm open. I have an open door policy unless I see you coming. Honestly, just come and talk to me, because if I need correction, I want correction. I don't want to do anything that would cause anybody any difficulty. So we're going to talk about 40 days. And I bring this up, and I'll tell you a bit more about it, but I want this church to go on a 40-day fast. Now, some of you are going, I don't think so. And I'm not saying that, okay, we're all going to sign up and we're not going to buy groceries for the next 40 days and we're all going to gather here and we're all going to just lay on the floor and groan. it's not, we will after 40 days. I'll tell you, we'll be all laying on the floor and we'll all be groaning, but that's not what I'm talking about. I think we have a congregation that's large enough to cover 40 days of one or two meals or, you know, prayer and fasting, because I believe we need to break the power of the devil in areas in this community and in this world. And we have an opportunity as RPC, Richmond Pentecostal Church, to go from here out into the world. And I want to do that with power. And so I'm going to do it as well. And we talked about it as a staff. And we're going to teach on prayer and fasting so you'll know how to do it and how it affects you. So I'm just going to give you a thumbnail sketch of it about today. So I want to take a look at Exodus 34. And we'll start right at the beginning of the chapter. It says here that the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stones like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets that you broke. Did you ever read that? Moses broke all 10 commandments, right, like that, at once. He did. And he was forgiven. So please understand, if you mess up, God's going to forgive you. Be ready in the morning and then come up to the Mount of Sinai. Can you imagine God saying that to you? Okay, so look, I want you to chisel out. It's not a tablet like we have. You know, it's not from Apple, and it's not, it's not a tablet from Microsoft. It's not one of those. These big, heavy tablets, and he had to pack them up the mountain. They're granite. He had to chisel them out. They didn't come from Home Depot. He had to do all that work before, and then God said, be ready in the morning. So I don't know how early in the evening he said it, but he said, be ready in the morning. So guess who's chiseling all night? Then he says, present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks or herds may graze in front of the mountain. In other words, I want it just to be you and I. And please understand something. God wants some time with just you and him. He wants to just spend some time with you and him. And sometimes we don't feel that comfortable about it. And so we bring somebody in. We turn the radio on. Praise music. Hallelujah. We're afraid of silence. Sometimes we just talk nonstop. Well, God, you know, I got this problem. I need this. Thanks, God. That's not prayer. That's the shopping list. That's the laundry list. That's, hey, let's just tell God what's going on. And what he said to Moses is, hike up the mountain, but don't have anybody come, and don't even have the bleating of sheep at the bottom bothering you. And then the Lord said to Moses in verse 27, write down these words, because a lot of things happened on the mountain there, and I'm not going to spend some time on that. Write down these words in verse 27, for accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. Yeah. What is right? Because that's not possible. In our system, physically, we cannot go more than 10 days. 10 days is extreme if we don't have water. We can do 40 days without food and a little bit more sometimes. A friend of mine, just a pastor of one of our churches here in BC, did a 40-day fast just a while ago. You'll buy new clothes if you do that, I'll tell you. Without eating bread or drinking water. What you're doing is saying, you know what? My relationship with you is more important than the natural things that I do every day. You're not neglecting your body. You're offering your body as a living sacrifice. I'm not saying that you should go 10 days without water or that you should spend 40 days fasting. If God calls you to that, make sure that God's called you to that. Don't do it on your own. Because don't tell anybody that you've done 40 days. Hallelujah. I've done 40 days. I did 3 40-day fasts. Not in a row, I hope. Just do it, you and God. Don't let the animals around. Don't let anybody see you, kind of thing. So then you're saying, well, how are we going to do this 40-day fast if we don't see each other? So the church is going to be empty for 40 days. No, I'm talking about when you're doing your fast and just spending time with God. Just spend time with him. He loves you. He wants to hang out with you, and he wants to empower you, and he wants to direct you, and he wants to guide you, and he wants you to hear from him. It's just something special about your dad, your heavenly father, that wants to spend that time with you. Can you imagine that? Because many of us maybe don't have that kind of relationship with our earthly fathers or earthly mothers. And so God, your father, is saying, hey, you are that important. I just want to spend time with you. So when Moses came down from the mountain and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. So how did he do that? Well, of course he had a felt marker and he just did it. No, he had a hammer and a chisel. He took that up there with him and he chiseled out the granite. So can you imagine dictating the Ten Commandments? There's quite a bit there. And you could slow down, you know. What if you spelled one of them wrong? You know, have you thought about that? Like, there was no spell checker on the granite, right? And do you fill it in and go? No, it was actually in the presence of God, things are done perfectly. And there's special anointing and blessing to do that. So when Moses came down from the mountain of Sinai with two tablets, the covenant of the laws, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. His face was radiant. You spend time with God and your face is radiant. And you know what? We could put the cosmetic industry right out of business if we just spent time with God. No Botox. And think about that anyway. It's not good stuff to have somebody shooting in your face or wherever. You don't need, I'm not saying you shouldn't use cosmetics. Please don't get me wrong there. But let me tell you something about this, is you need to spend time with God to be radiant and reflect him. And you know when you are there and you know when other people are there. You see it in them. They don't, hallelujah. They don't go, I'll just speak King James to you with. That's not radiant in God. Radiant in God is you are just actually reflecting Jesus Christ. And Moses came down after that, and he was so bright, he was so well lit in God that they went, oh my, just turn away. Get away from me. Because I can't see. Have you ever been blinded like that? I was a welder, and sometimes if you didn't flip your helmet down quick enough, there's a bright light there. And you can't even find your hand, let alone your way out of the shop. It's just like really, really bright light. The brightness of God is even more so. And so they actually had to put a veil on Moses' face when they talked with him. I want to look at this. Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking water. So I already talked to you about 40 days without food, 40 days as impossible without water. Let's look at some other the 40-day things that happened in Scripture. 40 days, and I'm not into numerology, and you know, let's make sure everything's 40 or 3 or 12 or all that kind of stuff. But there's some significance here. In Genesis 7:12, it said the rain, the flood, there's 40 days and 40 nights of rain. Well, that's kind of common for Richmond anyway. But in those days, it wasn't common. 40 days and 40 nights. And that, like, wow. And then the flood came all over the world. Men returned from Canaan after 40 days. These are the story of the spies. You know, the 12 spies went out and 10 came back with a bad story and 2 came back with a good story. They were gone 40 days and 40 nights. And they came back with a story. Every day for 40 days, Goliath took his stand in the morning and the evening. Remember that? David was off somewhere and his dad sent him out to the field and said, hey, take some stuff for your brothers that are down there fighting the Philistines. And so David comes down, and for 40 days, this is what they do. The army would line up, and they, you know, the Israeli army, you know, everybody's all perfect and absolutely perfect in line and everything, looking across the valley at the biggest guy they've ever seen in their life. And every day, in the morning, he would stand there, and in the evening, he would stand there for 40 days and 40 nights and scare the living tar out of these guys. 40 days, 40 nights. Elijah traveled for 40 days and 40 nights to reach Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah had just been through the most amazing spiritual battle and had seen on Mount Carmel all the sacrifices licked up by water, and God did some amazing things. And then he got depressed after. He got depressed. People understand that sometimes we get depressed even though we're full of God. It's not a disease that you feel bad about. It's not something. God wants to bring healing and freedom in that area of your life. I just want to throw that in because some people have a stigma that, hey, I'm depressed and I shouldn't be depressed. I know a lot of people that I really respect are on antidepressants. Please don't get on that train saying that, well, I'm not spiritual enough. If you have a broken leg, are you any less spiritual? If you have a broken thinker, something's depleted in your system, please don't let the enemy tell you that you can't get over that and that you are not the same person to Jesus, whether you're walking through that, because Elijah, I have not ever walked in his shoes in the power and anointing, and he got depressed. Anyways, I just threw that in. Jonah proclaimed for 40 days that Nineveh would be overthrown. Now, he didn't do that right away because he wanted him to be overthrown, so he jumped in. Went one trip in the belly of a whale, best thing for your ministry ever. You just go, I mean, you smell bad, but you go with a real purpose. Like, okay, so you went through the belly of the whale. What is going to happen if you do that again? Like, what? I don't know what would be worse than going through the belly of a whale. And then we get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I think John touches on it, but Luke especially. But Matthew says here, Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights while he was in the wilderness. And the enemy attacked him. The enemy came and just used the word of God against him. And he was weak. How many of you, when you're weak, when you're sick, when you're down, when you're not in the top of your game, don't have the strength to fight the enemy? Well, I tell you, Jesus understands that because he beat the devil with the word of God. So I want to talk to you about things that happen before the fasting and prayer, during the fasting and prayer, and then the fasting and prayer when it concludes. Before. You have a desire to see God move. I'm going to ask you I know the answer is yes. That's always the answer when it comes to a preacher asking you or a Sunday school teacher asking you. It's always Jesus or yes, right? But here's the question. Before any fast, there's a desire to see God more. Do you really have that? Do you really have that? Some of you have seen God move in powerful ways. Do you really have that inside of you? You want to see God move more? If you do, that's the key. Because when you enter into this next 40 days, and it'll start on May the 15th, when you start into this with the rest of the church, if you have that desire, and I believe that God places those desires in our heart so that we can bring them through our lives to glorify his name. I want you to have that. My prayer is that you have that desire to see God move. And not just in the world, and not just in Richmond, not just in your neighborhood, in you. What do you need him to move inside of you? What do you need him to empower you? What do you need him to bless you with? And then there's a willingness to sacrifice. Man, when I prayed and fasted, and my kids knew it when the kids were small, I pray or fast for like 3 days is pretty tough for me, but I was the grouchiest bear in the world. It's just like I was just thinking about food. I was thinking, okay, now like 3 days multiplied by 24, and then I'm going to eat my brains out. I'm going to eat everything that I couldn't eat for 3 days. That's not the right kind of fast. It's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to strong arm you, God. Let's go. That's him doing that to me, not me doing that to him. You don't arm wrestle with God in this thing. It's that you will put aside everything about you and everything that you desire. So maybe it's a fast, and we'll talk about different types of fast in Isaiah. Maybe it's a fast of technology. Ooh. Put that little fellow you have there, you know, that one that you can't get along without? This one? The other one that's, you know, in your briefcase or, you know, like we got to be connected, right? What happens if we're not connected? Well, we're just not connected. That's it. So maybe it's fasting. Maybe it's fasting from the nice desserts that you eat all the time. And I know that's a real challenge because, you know, my favorite are still cinnamon buns. I don't eat them anymore, but they're still my favorite. So I could say, well, I'm going to fast from them, but I already have, so that's not really good. And then the obedience to do all of this. You need to be obedient. So during the fast, you need to be expecting. There needs to be an expectation that God is going to do something. God is going to do something. Do you believe that God's going to do something? Really? Because if you start focusing in on God and seeing that he has put a desire in your heart to see people come to Christ, you are going to have an expectation that he's going to do something. Not at the end of 40 days. At the end of 40 days, sure. But during those 40 days. And you're going to have a spiritual focus. You really are. Elaine and I actually don't watch television anymore, and that's not because we're super spiritual. Because I have PTSD, and so does she. And we were watching. We thought that the national news was the safest for us. Somebody's laughing. We know it's not. Okay, now. So we're watching the national news because we need to keep up on what's going on in the world. And so we're watching the news, and there was just a segment that they were reporting on that was probably 30 seconds long that destroyed both of us. It literally destroyed both of us in a moment, in that 30 seconds. And we turned the TV off and said, we'll never have that allowed in our home again. Now, I don't stay away from the news, but I read it on my phone, and I don't watch the video because it sets me off. I have intrusive dreams. I can't do that. And even reading some stuff, if it says warning that this message or this story contains some content that's difficult, then I won't read it. Usually that's a lure. Everybody wants to go, ooh, I wonder what that is, you know? And I won't because I can't go there anymore. I can't go there because of my life, because of the way I was raised, because of the careers I had before. I can't go there. So you have more time. Maybe it's just going to fast from the TV. And to be honest with you, we would come home from work and we were tired. We'd order pizza and we'd sit and watch TV for 6 hours. Oh. Some of you were doing the same thing at the same time. But I'm just saying that you'll have more time to focus in on the Word. More time to not pray as you know, like in maybe in a kneeling position or something. Maybe you go for a walk and you talk. Walk and talk with God. It's a really cool thing. Then after, you're going to see the fruit of your labors. You're going to see the fruit of your labors. Pastor Stephen has been praying and seeking God with the Mandarin Ministries here on Friday night. And praise God for that. We have ESL, and praise God for that. Right, Tulsi? We have the daycare, right, Chantal? It's amazing, the most beautiful opportunity to touch little children's lives and families. You're going to see the fruit of your labors. That's not to say, oh well, let's give you a badge for doing what you did. No, it's that you got to be able to be part of what he's doing. Then you're going to have boldness and power. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be able to just say, hey, you know what? I've got the courage to go and talk to somebody. I believe. You meet somebody and who says, well, I have stage 4 cancer. I have this disease. I have this and that. And you go, look, I can pray for you because I believe that Jesus can heal. That's what you get. You get boldness and power. And you know what? When you do, it says in Scripture, and I read this, if you lay hands on a sick, they will recover. If you didn't, actually, there's no list of names of the only people that can do that. It just said, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Well, you know, some never. I don't know about that part. All I know is that if you lay hands on, and I remember many times God using me in that type of ministry, where I go, really? They got healed by me being there? It's not by you being there, it's by Jesus being there with you. So I'm going to ask you, and maybe you have the team come up, the worship team. I'm going to ask you right now to make a commitment to go on a 40-day journey of prayer and fasting. And again, we will unpack this for you over the 40 days. We'll walk with you on this. And maybe we'll have a journal. We'll get Lalaine to do that just before she goes. No. Maybe we'll have a prayer. I think that's a great idea. It just came into my brain because I won't have to do it. But I think a prayer journal. Wouldn't that be great? RPC prayer journal, 40-day fast. Great idea. So we're going to start it on Wednesday the 15th. I really believe that God wants us to have a spiritual hunger. I really believe that we don't have much time before Jesus Christ comes back. I really don't. And I know I'm getting older, and older preachers always say that, because he is coming back for some of us older ones. But the reality is, he's coming back for his church without spot or blemish. And one day, I don't know when that is, one day, boom, we're going to get caught up in the air to be with him. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive are going to be caught up with him. I don't know whether that's before the tribulation. I don't know whether that's after the tribulation. I don't know whether it's in between the tribulation. I don't know any of that stuff. I got books on all of it. All I do know is that Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. And the only people that are going to go are the people that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There is no other way. You cannot get to the Father except through the Son. No other religion in the face of this earth. It's a narrow door, but it's wide enough for all. So as we sing this worship song as we close our service this morning, and that's kind of an interesting sentence, close our service, because we're not. As you head through that door, you're going into his service. You are so blessed to live at this time in the world, the history of the world. You really are. Because this is a time when God is going to do some amazing things. Now, he's done amazing things over the years. But he is going to do some amazing things. And he wants us to be a part of that. So, I want you to pray. I want you to commit. You can commit to one meal once a week. You can commit to 3 days. You can commit to whatever. There'll be all sorts of options. But you will see your life change. And you will see the world around you change. And you will see God use you even more. And the best part is, you're going to see Him closer than you've ever seen Him before.